All right. Anybody feeling the chaos of life right now? I don't even know how many weeks this has been over. It's just been blindingly forever. We've been on the mission trip with teenagers, which was awesome. Great kids. Still chaotic. Got back from that. I was here for 4 days, and then I had to leave for Colorado to do a wedding, which was awesome. Sam Boyer usually sits over here. If you find him, congratulate him and his beautiful wife, Emily. Got back from that. I was in town for 2 days, and then I had to take my son up to Mayo Clinic to have a checkup and a reprogramming for his brain implant. I don't even know what day it is. Think it's Sunday. Anyway, but it's crazy, the mayhem and chaos of life. And the thing is, I know I'm not alone. Everybody's got the crazy life. And this is the place we come. You know, when life is absolutely crazy, we come here to the to God's house. And if you've been part of a church long enough, you know that even this family can be crazy sometimes. So we're not here for that. We are here for that. We're here for each other, and we want to know each other, and we want to pray for each other. But the calm center in our life is not church. It's God himself. That he is the one who is above all things. He is the one in control of all things. He is the one that is never surprised. He is never frantic. He is never overworked. He is never too busy. He is our stable center. The one that we can always turn to in the craziest times of life. And so today, let's turn to our God. Let us just rest in his presence, and let us have faith and know that he is God of all, and that he holds us in his hand. Let's begin our worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are an amazing God, the God that can hold all things together, the God that holds us together. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be our rock, continue to be our shelter, be our fortress, Lord, through all the difficult times of life. Help us, Lord, to always remember to turn to you and to receive from you all the things that we so desperately need, so that we, in the middle of the storm, can have peace. Thank you, Lord, for all this. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's sing. Oh, let's confess. All right, here's one of the chaoses of life, right? All the things that we do wrong, all the messes that we make, the people that we hurt, all the problems that we create in the world. Let us bring all of those things to the God who is over all things and the one who can give us the forgiveness that we need. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace. For the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake, forgive all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Unfold my Who live in love Welcome. My name is Steve Mangrum, an elder on duty today. The first reading, Romans 10, 5 through 17. Moses writes this about righteousness that is by the law. The person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. The same Lord is the Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can we call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Sermon text for today is Matthew 14, verses 22 to 33. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. Don't be afraid. It is I." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" When he climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." It's now time for the children's message. So kids, if you guys would come forward at this time, Pastor Bill has the message today.
Good morning. Have you ever been afraid? Have you ever been really scared? What is it that frightens you? What is it that makes you afraid? What?
Fear.
Fear? Okay. What about lightning and thunder? Does that make you afraid? When that lightning flashes and the thunder crashes? Yeah. Sometimes that makes us afraid too. But you know, Jesus' disciples, they were afraid sometimes too. They were riding in their boat, and it was a big storm, and the wind was against them, and they had to row the boat. They couldn't use their sails. Did you ever try to row a boat against the wind? That's pretty hard to do. And so they were out in that lake a long, long time trying to get someplace, and they couldn't. And they're tired, and all of a sudden they saw something. Something that was so strange, it looked like somebody out there walking on the water. Can you walk on the water? I can't either. And the disciples couldn't. And they thought, it must be a ghost. That's pretty silly, isn't it? But they didn't think it was silly. They were frightened. They were really scared. But Jesus said, don't be afraid, because it's just me. Peter says, Lord, if it's you, command me to get out of the boat and walk on the water to you. Do you think Peter can walk on the water? Jesus made it so he could. Jesus worked a miracle, didn't he? And now Peter can get out of the boat and he can walk on the water. But something happened. He looked around and he saw the waves. He saw the water, and he got scared. He got scared. He began to doubt whether Jesus could really make him walk on the water. And you know what happened? He started to sink. He started to sink into the water. So what did he do? He said, Lord, save me. So he said to Jesus, save me, Jesus. And you know what Jesus said? Why did you doubt? You know, sometimes when we're afraid, it's because we doubt. We doubt that God is with us. We forget that, don't we? We need to remember all the time God is with us. And there was Peter. He had Jesus right there with him. But he got scared anyway. And Jesus says, why did you doubt, O you of little faith? When our faith is strong and we really know Jesus is with us, then we can deal with the things that scare us. Did you know that? Jesus gives us that wonderful gift of strength, that gift of faith that trusts in him. Do you trust in Jesus? Yeah. Let's remember we have that trust all the time, that we stay trusting in Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, be always in our hearts. Let our faith remain strong. That we never doubt. That you are with us. That you are for us. Please, Lord, keep us in you through Jesus Christ. Amen.
All right. Well, when God created the heavens and the earth, he says that, the Bible tells us that before God started creating, what was there was tohu vabohu. Makes sense, right? Yeah, Hebrew, for formless and void, meaning there's nothing there and what is there is not organized. Sort of like my office. The thing is that when God created, he did more than just make stuff. He created organization. He created structure. He created rules. He created all of the interdependent systems that are required in order for us to have a good life. And that's a lot if you stop and think about it. I mean, we got the water. You know, the rain and the rain and the evaporation and the all that kind of stuff. We have the, you know, the, all the material that are in plants that grow and then die and then regrow and then plant animals eat them. You know, we've got the systems in our own bodies. You know, the circulatory system, and we have our lungs and the oxygenating bloods. What is this? Pulmonary, so yeah, we got all these systems. Think about how many complicated things that we have. Just the ability to hear, how many complicated systems that we have. You know, just that we can see how many incredible miracles God created, all that are working together just perfectly so that we can see one another. It's absolutely insane. And so God created the substance, but he also created order. In Job, though, we hear about some other thing, another side of this, and that's the chaos. That the chaos was still there in creation, but God put limits on it, right? Here it is in Job. Where am I? Wrong page. Okay, well, in Job, God talks about the creation. He talks about, I do have it. I put it in a different place. That's my problem. In Job 38, God speaks to Job out of the storm. Job finally complains to God, and God needs to reset the relationship, make sure that Job understands exactly where he is in respect to God. And God speaks out of the storm, and he says, "Who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man, and I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it, and on what were its footing set?" And what he gets in here is he says, "Where were you? Where were you when I put the sea in a box? When I set bars around it and said, you can come this far and no further?" And what God did, this God of all creation, the one who is able to hold everything together and does it so marvelously, is he took the chaos, which is so often in Scripture represented by the sea, and the chaos of the waves. I mean, just think about all the things that are causing and putting effects on the sea and creating the waves. You have the wind. You have the depth of the water. You have the things swimming in the water. The sea is a crazy place. If you actually go to the beach and are laying back and enjoying it, you're not in the water. Because when you're in the water, it's not as relaxing. You know what I'm saying? And here's the secret. The farther you get from the beach, the less relaxing it is. Because once you get out in the middle of the water, there's nothing standing still. All right? I mean, you're out there, hopefully on a boat, floating if you're brave. And everything around you is moving. In the Psalms, it talks about when the sailors are on the water, they suddenly are going really up to the heavens, and then they're crashing down to the earth. And it's just high and low and chaos and mess, and they have no control over anything that's happening to them. They're just holding on and riding it out. And that doesn't even get to the things that live in the water, which the Bible has all kinds of terrifying words for. The Leviathan, right? This great creature of the deep. And now we don't know about the Leviathan so much, but you ever worry about sharks? I mean, they're so cute. And they're so terrifying, we actually make movies about them. And this is the chaos. This is the mess. This is the absolutely uncontrollable situations that we find ourselves in life. And this is where the disciples were when Jesus found them in today's reading. They were in the middle of the water, And the water was against them. And they were terrified. Then they see somebody coming toward them on the water. Now, understanding where they are, and these people, the four of them were fishermen. They knew the water. They knew the situation. And here's one thing that I'll tell you is very little good comes to you in a storm. When you're in the middle of a storm, the sea is not bringing you blessings. It is just coming at you. And they see something that looks like a man walking on the water. And, okay, we pick on them because we're like, ghost, really? I mean, you believe in ghosts? But what else were they supposed to think? It's not common for even Jesus to walk on water. It's not a trick that Jesus has done before. They didn't have that idea in their brain. They see somebody walking on the water, and they do what any of us would do. They freak out even more. And Jesus comes to them. Literally walking on the chaos. The chaos that is absolutely terrifying to us, the stuff that makes our worrying brains just melt. There, God showed up walking along on the chaos. And it's so funny because you read this in the Bible, even in the other gospel accounts, it's so chill. You know, it's just Jesus came walking up like no big deal. Like, this isn't even amazing or shocking or anything. It's just Jesus showed up. And Peter, I love this guy. I identify with Peter. If I had been one of the other disciples, I'd be kicking myself that I didn't think of it first. You know? Well, Jesus, can I get out of the boat and walk with you? That's a special problem that Peter has. I mean, they're already in the middle of a storm, in the middle of a sea, scared to death. He's a fisherman. He knows how bad this is. And his solution is maybe I should get out of the boat. And Jesus says, come. And Peter walks. And as long as Peter is looking to Jesus, as long as his faith is in Jesus, as long as his attention, his focus is on the one who is above all this mess, Peter's okay. But as soon as Peter does the most natural thing in the world and looks at the crazy chaos he's standing in, he starts to sink. But I love Peter, because when he freaks out, he does the right thing. He doesn't try to swim. He doesn't try to rescue himself. He doesn't try to make it back to the boat. He just calls out to the one, the only one, who can rescue him. And of course, the God of all mercy does. There's so many ways to apply this story to our lives. I mean, the absolute chaos that we live in. The times in life when we feel like we have absolutely no control over what's happening next. All we can do is take the next step. Try not to do anything wrong as we take the next step. Try to do the right thing. But as we keep our eyes on the one who is above everything else, the one who is not shocked by the chaos, the one who is not overwhelmed by the mess. We look to the one. We look to him for everything. We look to him at first for the mess that we create in our lives, the sins that we make, the ways we hurt other people, the constant destruction that just seems to follow us because we are weak and we fail and we don't do the things we're supposed to do. And because we don't do the things we're supposed to do, people suffer. People who rely on us are hurt. But we look to the one who rescued us from sin and death and the devil. And because of him, we are saved. And then we go through life and we just, through the living, through the families, through the neighbors, through the work, through all of the relationships, all of the things, all of the challenges of life, watching as the chaos just somehow leaks into all our best laid plans. And the secret is, keep your eyes on the one. When you're out in the middle of the water and you have seasickness like crazy, the one thing you want is something that's standing still, something that's reliable, something that can be counted on. And when you're in the middle of the ocean, those things are rare. But we have a God who is our stillness, our peace, no matter how bad the storm is. He can provide, he can protect, he will hold our hand, he will come to us walking on the chaos, and it won't even be a big deal for him. But we want to keep our eyes on him. Don't be distracted by the chaos. Don't look at the mess. Look at him, because he is the answer. He is the one who is strong enough. And Jesus came because the chaos is not the plan. The chaos leaks into our lives because of sin. And Jesus came to deal with that problem. One of my favorite passages from Revelation. John is approaching the throne of God, and he talks about all the things that are going on in the room, and there's so many things and so many descriptions, but in front of the throne of God, there is a sea of glass that is like crystal. It is perfectly clean, perfectly still. Glass because there's no waves upon it at all. And John doesn't put any details in Revelation that aren't incredibly important, and I'll tell you what this one means. God, on the last day, when we stand in his presence, the chaos is gone. Jesus conquered the sea a few times with his disciples. You know, made the waves go away, saved the disciples from this terrifying storm. But when we get to heaven, when we stand in front of him, the thing we are looking forward to, our true retirement, where we get to rest in his kingdom forever, there is no more chaos. We will be loved and cared for by the God that loves and cares for us today, but no longer in a world of sin. My friends, in the chaos, there's so many things to keep in our minds, right? First thing is, keep your eyes on Christ. Second thing is, know that it will end. There will be a day when the sea will be like glass, because our Lord and Savior died for us and made it possible. And through the work of the Holy Spirit, we believe. Our sins are forgiven. We belong to him. Don't listen to the storm if it tells you something else. And look forward to that awesome day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for being with us, for giving us peace in the storm. Lord, I pray that you would continue to help us remember to always look to you, always follow you, Lord, always turn to you, Lord, when life is insane, when things are crazy. So, Lord, that we can rest in you in all times and that we can spend eternity, Lord, with you in a place with no more chaos. In your name we pray. Amen. Please stand as we confess our faith. Today we're going to be using the first article, or the explanation of the first article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. Please be seated. It is now time for the senior send-off. So seniors, if come forward at this time. All right. Bible verse for today is this. It says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You guys are about to enter a whole new world, right? You're going off to college and or wherever you're going next. I mean, and the thing is that when you get there, there's going to be a lot of people with a lot of answers and a lot of ideas of how the world does work or should work. And not all of them are in agreement with God. And the question is, how do you find your way in all that? And the answer is this: keep your eyes on him, right? That we cling to him, that we study his word, that we pray to him. And when we do that, the Spirit works in our hearts and helps us to know him better. And so as you guys head out in the world, know that there's a bunch of us still here praying for you. That you are from here, you are one of ours, and that we love you lots. And that we will be praying that God continues to guide you and that he will use you in unimaginable ways in this world, that more people can know what he's done. Can we pray together? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for these young people. Lord, I pray that you would be with them, that you would guide them, that you would protect them, Lord, and that you would use them, that you would challenge them, that you would give them work to do in this world, Lord, so that their lives can be glorious and worshipful to you. Thank you, Lord, for all this. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends. And now, I worked really hard on these gifts. I live my life in the middle of people who are amazing at gifts and things, and it's wonderful. So let's see. This one is for you. Folks, here's some gifts that we want you to take with you as you go into the world. Use them as something that anchors you to us and to remind you that that your church loves you and that we are praying for you and that we want to be there for you if you ever need us. Amen? All right, please be seated. And then at this time, I'd like to call Pastor Dar to come forward. It is the life talk for this month. And just to tell you, to explain this, you know, why do we do these life talks? You're blinking. You almost don't have battery there. The reason we do these life talks is because throughout history, there's been some very, very bad things that have happened. In the Nazis, they killed about 17 million people. Stalin killed around 20 million, and Mao killed around 50 million. Well, just due to abortion in our country, we're up to 63 million. And every one of these generations that does these things is judged by later generations, and people ask questions like, why didn't somebody stand up and say something? Well, that's what we're doing. We're standing up and saying something.
Good morning. Your St. Mark's Life Team is formed to keep you, our brothers and sisters in Christ, informed about life issues in our world so you can affirm life with us. in all of its stages from womb to tomb. God's word says in Psalm 139:13, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb." Let's see what that looks like. The miracle of God's creation of all of us in our mother's womb. Wow, what a miracle. Psalm 139 goes on to say, "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows that very well." Some thoughts for our prayers and the opportunity that we might have to take a stand that affirms life. Remember, more than 1 million abortions will happen in our country each year. Abortion ends the life of a living yet unborn human being. And over 60% of those abortions occur through the chemical abortion pill mifepristone, which not only ends the life of a baby in the womb, but can cause physical harm to the mother and is often taken and administered without medical supervision. Pray and speak up for life when you have the opportunity. If you'd like to look a little bit closer at the stages of development in the womb, the Life Team bulletin board out just to this side of the connection center will give you more information. Pray and take a stand for life.
Heavenly Father, Lord, you are the God of all. You are the one who is still in the storm. And Lord, I pray that you would help us in the middle of all the chaos and mayhem of life, that we would be able to have peace in you. And Lord, we pray especially, Lord, for all these women, Lord, that are considering abortion, Lord, for whatever reason. Lord, I pray that you would send some of us, Lord, into their path, Lord. Help us, Lord, to care for them, to love them, to show them that there's another way, Lord, so that their little one, Lord, does not need to die. Lord, I pray that you would continue to guide your church as we move forward. Lord, I pray that we would have opportunities to serve you and that those opportunities would be met by the mercy and compassion, Lord, that you have put in our hearts for each other. Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes to all the things, all the people around us, Lord, and all the hurts and burdens that they carry, so that we can support them and pray for them in all their many needs. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with our school, Lord, as we're getting ready for another school year. Lord, I pray that you would be with our teachers and our principal, Lord, that everybody, Lord, would be ready for this year, be with the students and their families, that they would be motivated and willing learners, so that they can know this world that you have made and all the things in it and praise you as the God of creation and salvation. Thank you, Lord, for all of this. And we pray together the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Heavenly Father, we also pray for a few people in our church, Lord, who are heading into surgery soon. Lord, we pray for Ed Ployer. You'd bless the surgeons, Lord, and help him to recover quickly. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with him, Lord, as he grieves at the death of his father. And Lord, please also be with Jan Beasley, Lord, as she is about to go into surgery and is having other medical issues. Be with her and bless her as well. All these things we pray in your name. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this as often as you eat of it in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do in remembrance of me."
And my life began. Oh, your grace.
Having received this very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the strength and forgiveness he gives us in this gift, depart in his peace to serve him in joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand as we sing the final song together.
Praise God.
My friends, the only other thing I have to tell you this morning is you're all invited to stay for Bible study. Last week, Pastor Josh taught a Bible study on having the right books in the Bible, like looking at the actual scripture itself and where it come from. And today we're going to be talking about, do we have the right words in the Bible? And so we're going to be looking at a whole bunch of stuff today, which is going to be really interesting. So stick around for that if you can. God's blessings on your day, folks.